사랑하는 임직자 여러분, 모든 성도 여러분, 주 안에서 직분이 주어진다는
Our inaugural today, and brothers and sisters, to receive a position in the Lord is a blessing and honor beyond comparison with any position in the world. Regarding this, his position, Paul mentioned in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, not for man, not through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. We too must remember that any office or mission entrusted to us in the Lord is not from man, but from God, the creator of all things and the one who governs life and death and blessings and curse, and also from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, who knew well the significance of his calling, confessed in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Namely, Paul valued his mission above his own life, confessing that he would be faithful to the Lord's kingdom and righteousness until his final breath. And he lived it out. He didn't get married. He devoted his life to the Lord, and he also died for the Lord. He died a martyr. Was his life... Can you say that his life was a failure? From a worldly perspective, they wouldn't know. But we know that how blessed he was, he enjoyed the best blessing. You believe so? So you have also received the grace of God and also make the same confession. You say things like, I will live for God's glory, I will live for the Lord. Many Christians confess so. Yet, not many remain unchanged and run to the end. In a marathon, countless runners gather at the starting line, but as the race goes on, their number decreases, and at the finish line, we see only a few completing the course. Nowadays, marathon is gaining popularity. I also mentioned it in my sermon. You have reports that people are in love with running. So there are many kinds of marathon races, not like a marathon courses for professionals or non-professionals. There are also races for non-professionals, some people, after a little training, participate in such a race, like 10 kilometers, 20 kilometers, and once they participate in a race, they get nervous, and they may lose their pace, and they run too fast, and then they give up in the middle. So at the starting line, a lot of people join. But at the finish line, we see only a few people completing the course. For non-professionals, it's only 10-kilometer or 20-kilometer course. So people may challenge themselves. And some people... So just the people who participate, all of them may get a medal. It's like a participation award. But in a marathon race, official race, like in the Olympics, not everyone can receive the medal. They receive a medal or award according to their scores, according to their achievement, like gold, silver, bronze. Also, for heaven, we have to run the race to the end. And when we run the race, we have to aim for the best awards. We can just come into spirit and whole spirit. Likewise, in our faith, it's important to keep running the race of faith without changing. In fulfilling our mission, we may go through times of trial that we can never pass without faith. At times, we may bitterly lament for the kingdom of God. Yet, those entrusted with a mission must not stop or be swayed just because they face an obstacle. Once God has given us a position or title, we must not leave our place, but press on without ceasing toward the goal. Then, like an athlete crowned with a gold medal, we too will one day receive from God a reward that shines forever. I pray that today's word will give you true life and power so that you may all attain such a blessed place. Dear all workers inaugurated today, today's passage, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 says, "For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." This verse bears the heart of our Father God, who desires that you remain steadfast and fulfill your mission to the very end. Inaugurated workers, as you prepared this service, you were excited. You were recognized as senior deaconesses, and a few months ago, you may have been recognized. And elders, you in the last year, you already were recognized as the elders. So you have been preparing for this service for 9 months. And you have, until you have this inauguration, you must have had a fluttering heart. And as the day was approaching, you must have been excited and had a fluttering heart. You must have thought about what kind of elder, what kind of senior deaconess you would become. Like, I think you've all been in this church for over 10 years or 20 years. You have been recognized. We have carried out your duties well. You wouldn't just want to do the same way as I've been doing. Of course, you've been good, but you want to be better. You want to carry out your duties better. You must have thought about what kind of attitudes you should have as senior deaconesses or elders. It has to continue. You must have, as you also offer this service, you have to also pray earnestly and think about what kind of elders or senior deacons you have to become. The kind of senior deaconesses and elders God wants you to, desires you to become. And you have to pray earnestly and receive the Holy Spirit's inspiration and press on. I'm just giving an outline of what you have to do through this message. But in detail, detail is up to you. You must have been excited and you must have been happy. You must have been joyful. And I don't know whether you had a good night's sleep because you're so excited last night. Please don't forget the grace, before you forget the thrills. You have to keep that passion burning even brighter. Then you will become the... But you receive the... You are inaugurated today. But as time goes by, if your passion becomes cold, then that means you are lacking qualification as the senior deaconesses or elders. Even after you are inaugurated, you have to, in the past, you have to reflect on yourself through this message. Whenever we have this inauguration service, also, pastors, you remember the moment when you were inaugurated, you were senior deaconesses, you adorned yourselves like a beautiful bride, you put on accessories on your clothes. And also, elders, you adorn yourself, groom yourself like a bridegroom. And every year we are having this inauguration. And whenever we have this, you have to renew your, check your heart and attitude. And hope. When believers first receive their positions and duties, they are deeply moved and grateful, resolving to live for God's glory. But what matters is not only to keep that first heart unchanged, but to let it grow stronger as days, months, and years go by. Like today's message title, Those Who Treasure the Mission Entrusted by God, as you think, what a precious duty He's given to me. Reflect on your service today and try to be even more faithful tomorrow. You bring true joy to God. What I'm very thankful is that it has been 29 years since I started serving as the pastor. When I was a missionary seminary student, I was given a duty. I was in charge of the charity department, and I was on a truck with packs of rice. I was giving food and giving items to the needy. And it has been 29 years since I served as a pastor. As time went by, I'm very thankful that I am cherishing my duties all the more. I express such gratitude in my prayer often. And when I was a seminary student, even when I was a child, I wanted to become a pastor. I knew that my duty was to become a pastor. I heard that from my parents. My duty was a pastor. And as I actually became a pastor and started carrying out my missions, it was not my choice. But the situation I was in, it was that I had to become a pastor. And sometimes my duty felt like, sometimes I felt burdened because I wanted to bear more fruit. I thought it was even though I tried my best, as time went by, as the church went through trials and difficulties, I had a time to cherish my duties even more, which was the grace of God. Sometimes I pray, Father God, there are many kinds of jobs, but among them, I became a pastor, which is most precious. I'm very thankful for my duty as a pastor, title as a pastor. But I didn't have this heart from the first. But now, I'm very thankful that I received such a precious duty, title, and the fact that I'm leading the mommy members in that church where we are giving glory to God, and I'm walking this precious path, is an honor for me. I thank Father for giving me such a precious duty. I'm offering such prayer. If I have a change of heart, I will be very foolish. How could it? But I have to make this passion stronger and stronger and remain faithful with all my life. The same goes to all of you. You have become a saved children of God and you are having a duties. You have to consider your duties being from God. and they are very precious, and that you have to, as you cherish the duties, you will receive rewards. All who are inaugurated today, then how can we cast aside changing heart and carry out our mission to the end? The reason people have a change of heart is that flesh remains in their heart. As time goes by, flesh ultimately changes and perishes. So even if one appears to be fervent and spirit-filled right now, unless he casts flesh, he cannot run the race of faith and fulfill the mission to the end. So when we see people having a heart of change, should have mercy. You may feel like you will never change, but if you have flesh, if you have a self-seeking heart, if you have flesh in you, the flesh causes you to have a change of heart. When something doesn't agree with your benefit, even though once you have flesh, you may end up having a change of heart. For this reason, God has taught you through many words how you can cast off flesh and come into spirit. Today, I would like to address two points that those entrusted with a precious position must keep in mind and fulfill so that you will cherish your God-given duties and glorify God through faithfulness. First, you must daily arm yourselves with the Word of God, the truth. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, when God appointed Joshua to become Moses' successor and entrusted him with a mission, he exhorted him as follows. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. To Joshua, who was to lead millions of Israelites into the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey, God emphasized that above all, they not depart from the commandments, meditate on the word day and night, and obey all the words as recorded. As they did so, God promised that He would be with them and they would prosper wherever they went. As representatives of the congregation, you also have the mission of taking the lead in fulfilling God's providence and will for this church, along with me. Even if you have the same duty, there's a difference between even when you take on the same duty, there is a vast difference between carrying it out by your own ability and fulfilling it through God's grace. The work of God cannot be done by human wisdom or strength. Then, what must we do? We must inscribe God's word upon our hearts and be united with it. But even if you have a position, know the word well, and even teach it, unless you live by it, you have nothing to do with God. Consider the scribes and the Pharisees in the days of Jesus. Did they not know the scriptures? They knew them better than anyone. And because they knew and believed the Messiah would come, they waited for Him. Yet, they We were waiting for the Messiah who would resolve the hardships of Israel. They interpreted the Bible, words about the Messiah, in their own fleshly thoughts. So, they thought that if the Messiah come, He would resolve the political problems. So, they were waiting for a person with power or authority. That was their anticipation, but Jesus was born in a stable and He was not born of some famous parents. So things were not according to their thoughts. That's why they did not accept Jesus. Yet they failed to practice the righteousness, mercy, and faithfulness that God desired. They were so knowledgeable about the law, but they didn't live by the word. They were lacking the practice. Thus, even as Jesus performed countless mighty works, they did not recognize Him as the Savior who had come for them, and in the end, they crucified Him. How did they end up doing that? Because they had envy and jealousy. They had a desire to, as they saw Jesus, they found Him being different from their thoughts, and the words of Jesus offended them because they were arrogant. They didn't humbly lay themselves down, and rather than focusing on the power Jesus performed, they just thought that what Jesus taught was different from their ways, and they were afraid that if they and they calculated that they didn't want to let go of their ego, so they ended up even killing Jesus. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." And in Matthew chapter 7 verses 26 and 27, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. No matter how splendid and beautiful a house may appear, if it is built on sand, it will be swept away in a moment when a storm comes. In the same way, all our faithfulness and devotion are secure only when they are firmly grounded on the word of truth, and only then will they return as eternal reward." In this church, many have been healed, had their problems resolved, and given thanks for indescribable grace, confessing that they would live for the Lord and enter New Jerusalem. Yet, when they faced personal troubles or found the church in trials, many of them fell away. Why is this so? They were not deeply rooted in the Word of God. In the face of hardships or tribulations, one must find answers and solutions from the Word. But if we instead complain and grumble, living apart from the Word, soon enough, he becomes prey to the enemy devil. Even in the Garden of Eden, where there was no sin or evil, Adam and Eve chose disobedience by their own free will, didn't they? As you listen to the lectures on Genesis, we know that in the Garden of Eden, there were no sins and evil, and Adam and Eve didn't have sins and evil. Even so, Eve accepted an instigation from the serpent because she had God gave free will to men, and according to their free will, they chose what they did. Even though they had no evil and sin, they ended up disobeying. But what about on this earth? We have this world is controlled by the enemy devil, and in our hearts, there are also attributes of flesh, attributes of untruth, which are controlled by the enemy devil, and we are also affected and tempted by people around us. There are deceiving words or tempting words. So, if we are not grounded by the Word of God, we should be deeply rooted in the Word. Otherwise, we may be swayed by the wind. We may fall away by the storm. You have to check how strongly armed are you in the Word of God. Are you paying attention to the deceiving words? Or even if you hear a lot of messages, you forget about them. People, you know, you only hear a two-hour sermon in a week. How can those two-hour sermon The word has power, but if you don't worship in spirit and truth, if you don't hold fast to the word, if you don't engrave the message in your heart, if you don't make efforts to circumcise your heart, then you may be affected by the winds and storms brought by the enemy devil, so you may fall away, you may more deeply rooted in the word. Therefore, we must always keep close to God's word, act by it, and be strengthened by it. Just receiving a lot of word is not everything. You have to be, the strength comes when we act by it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14 urges us, therefore take up the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I ask all of you to examine how much you have engraved the words of life on your heart, and acted accordingly. As the word says, pursue peace with all men. Are you pursuing peace in the Lord without clashing or conflicting with anyone? As it is written, in everything give thanks. Do you give thanks from the heart in every circumstance, always praising and glorifying Him with your lips? As Paul said, forgive each other just as the Lord forgave you. Do you embrace and forgive even those who have wronged you or did evil against you with the love of the Lord? As your thoughts, deeds, and life become one with the word of truth this way, flesh is cast off, and you come forth as men of spirit who resemble Christ. Such a person will not waver in heart, but will treasure the mission given and do his best to carry it out until the Lord returns. After meeting the Lord on the way to Damascus, Paul gave up everything and steadfastly ran the race of faith with an unchanging heart. He confessed in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. May all of you also hold fast to the word, run the race of faith with daily victory, and receive the crown of righteousness God has prepared. Dear inaugurated workers and brothers and sisters, to treasure the mission received from God and bring glory to the Father through faithfulness, secondly, you must not cease to pray. As 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 tells us, for it is sanctified by the means of the word of God and prayer. However much you hear and know the word, without prayer, you cannot cultivate your heart and spirit. Namely, as you hold to the word and pray fervently, you get clothed with God's grace and power. In turn, you can rid yourself of flesh and come into spirit. But regrettably, some workers neglect prayer or stop praying, saying that they're busy with God-given duties. But without prayer, we cannot overcome the enemy devil in spiritual battle. Also, we are not able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and receive His guidance. Though we may seem faithful in our own way, working according to our own thoughts and theories, in the end, we cannot give glory to God. So, Jude verses 20 and 21 advises us, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. In other words, through unceasing prayer in the Spirit, we ought to build ourselves up upon holy faith and attain to eternal life. The source of all our strength is God, and prayer is the way to receiving His grace and power and the fullness. Prayer is like a power supply. Without prayer, Christians become distant from God, the source of life. As a result, their spirit cannot breathe. Though they are alive, they are in a state no different from being dead. Even if you have a cell phone, even if you have a television or computer, once the power is out, once their battery is dead, you can no longer use them. No matter how good the television is, without power supply, it is not turned on. Nothing is on. Unless you are not filled up by the Holy Spirit with prayer, even as the children of God, you cannot use your power as His children. You have to remember this fact. Therefore, as you lead a Christian life and carry out your mission, God's word and prayer must go hand in hand. Children, you can point out your parents' faults. You have to set an example in prayer. When we look at many of our forefathers' faith, they were all men of prayer. Jacob didn't let go of the angel of God until he received an answer. Jacob held on to the angel until he received an answer. As a result, he obtained a great blessing. Though he knew he would be thrown into the lion's den, Daniel did not cease praying. As a result, he was protected by God and came to be honored by the king. Even Jesus, the Son of God, went out in the early morning to pray in the fields. He spent the whole night in prayer. He prayed even until his last breath on the cross. Even when Paul and Silas had been beaten and thrown into prison, they prayed with thanksgiving and sang hymns of praise. Then an earthquake occurred and the prison doors were opened. If you also become people of prayer like this, you can bring down God's limited. I hope that you can offer a prayer filled with the Holy Spirit and inspiration. And God will also grant you this wisdom and strength to fulfill your mission, and He Himself will go before you, guiding your steps one by one. Thus, nothing will be hindered, all things will go well, and you will bear abundant fruits in the areas entrusted to you. Let me conclude the message. Inaugurated workers and brothers and sisters, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." This is God's promise. If you do not turn aside from His calling, but do your utmost to fulfill your mission without changing, you will receive the same blessing and glory given to many forefathers of faith. To enter into such a blessed place, you must arm yourself with the word of truth, and second, you must pray without ceasing. As you rise as spiritual warriors through the word and prayer, God's kingdom will remain strong and firm, and the day we completely fulfill the mission given to this church will arrive more quickly. Therefore, may all of you keep today's message in mind and keep marching in faith until the moment you attain the final glory. By doing so, I pray in the precious name of the Lord that when He comes back with power and great glory, riding on the clouds, you will all enjoy the glory and blessing of entering the holy city of New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, to avoid their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.